Welcome to the Grindhouse Clubhouse, the podcast where we watch exploitation movies and then talk about them here on the show. I'm Kenny Porter, and with me is my co-host, Jessica Lane. How you doing, Jessica?
Hating you.
Yeah, I'm... You guys, I am the worst
person ever. I think I cursed your name 50 times watching this film. You have picked the worst films, and this may be the worst film I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's borderline like Mystery Science Theater reject pile because we can't show this because it's too fucked up.
Yeah, if Mystery Science Theater had like a After Dark version.
Ooh, yeah, After Hours with Tom Servo.
But this was so bad. This was bad. It was porn.
Oh yeah, this was so porn and weird. Porn?
Yeah, too? Real weird, yeah. Porn.
So the movie's called Beast in Space. And when I found out what the Beast in Space was, I gotta tell you, I out loud yelled, "I can't believe he's a fucking blank," which we will get to at that point. But yeah, so the movie's called The Beast in Space, and it's kind of the same premise as Avatar.
Kind of,
James Cameron one, because everybody's after the unobtainium bullshit, like Alarium or something. I don't know. I'm just going to call it unobtainium.
That's actually pretty good.
No, that's what it's called in Avatar.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, writing this down, I think I had to go through my notes every time I'd want to write down, because it's called, like, Antalium or Antalium. It's an Italian film, so they have their nice Italian accent on it.
Yeah, they're like, what is the name of the metal that the Wolverine is made of? We do something similar to that.
And so every time I'd have to write it down, I'd have to, like, flip back through my notes because I couldn't remember it at all. But
I wrote it down 15 different ways. And sometimes it was on my phone. So it was in my, like, OneNotes thing, and it was just auto-correcting it to crazy shit. So, sometimes there's more talk about one of them was just more talk about anteaters. That was one instead of the actual title. So this movie's called Beast in Space, which I'd picked just by name, which you told me to keep doing. So that's one defense.
Okay, so we're going to pin this on me. I'm not accepting that.
No, I'm not laying the blame around me. I'm just saying that the blame is within me, but nobody put a warning label on the bottle that I drank, is what I'm saying. So it's obviously Big America's fault.
I knew, because you sent me the text asking, you were like, Beast in Space or some other film, and I was like, Beast in Space, because I also picked based on the title, and I thought, oh, it's going to be like a cheesy science fiction, terrible special effects kind of film, and it was that.
Half right.
Yeah, I mean, they did have terrible special effects, and they were technically in space. But it was mostly a sex club and a sex forest and a sex dinner party and a sex everything.
Pretty much a sex smorgasbord of sexity sex. Also, sometimes with monsters. Mm-hmm. There's a reason there's a question mark, which we'll get to later. I don't know that I necessarily want to go through this movie plot point by plot point, because
I don't know if I really want to.
There's not a ton going on. All right, I'll give the general rundown. So Beast in Space is about...
Oh, by the way, can we just stop and say that Beast in Space is made in 1980? I will post a link to the trailer on our Twitter.
Wait, what?
Yes.
80?
Yes. I didn't believe it either.
Made like early 70s.
No, I looked it up. It's 1980.
Then there is no excuse for that house that they put a fucking cardboard dressing on. Like, oh, look, it's a castle.
That's exactly
like,
it.
That is clearly somebody's house.
I saw 1980 before I started watching it, and I was like, oh, that must be a different Beast in Space from Google. And then I went back. No, it's 1980, and it has the graphics, you're right, of like 1971.
Yeah, like a movie they made in the 60s and then released in 71.
Oh, for sure. And it's also, so that's why some of the Star Wars references in this film are actual Star Wars references.
Oh, yeah, because All right. So there's it's about this space captain whose name is Larry.
Which, by the way, when did you get Larry? Because I tried to find
his
name. They
would call out Larry at him all the time in the movie. Like, they called him like 15 different names, like Captain whatever his face was, and then a different first name, and then they'd call him Larry. But he was Italian Lando Calrissian. Mm-hmm. He had like a cape and stuff.
And that shitty mustache.
Oh, yeah. He sexes up this girl. I don't know. I don't remember. Her name was Donna?
Sandra.
Sandra. Okay. This girl, Sandra, in a club after he beats up discount Han Solo.
Juan Solo? Han. Yeah.
Yeah.
Juan Solo. Solo.
And he dresses the same, except it's like he's wearing the Han Solo outfit with the puffy shirt from Seinfeld opened up down to his navel, and he's like 65. They fight over this girl, Sandra, and Sandra's like, and Tracy hates it when I do this voice, but she's like, this girl in the bar is like, I'm just that's what I got fucked. Like
she
that.
Really is though.
And she just flat out says that, like, I'm here to get boned. And he's like, I can do that. I can also swashbucklingly fight in my paisley cape that I stole from the set of Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, I guess it's good to know that in the future, women are still objectified, apparently.
Oh, it's great to know. Good times. Good times for scumbag guys.
Oh, God.
Definitely. So they do it for a very long sequence.
Yeah, here I got the timestamp for everything. Like we normally do. Usually it's just the boobs timestamp, but this film I had a lot of fucking timestamps. Some that hope I never have to timestamp again in a film. Sex came at 6 minutes and 47 seconds, but the sex appeared before boobs, and so at 7:29, that's when we get boobs, butt, and bush.
A lot of bush in this movie.
There's so much bush
in this movie, you'd have to call someone to trim it for it.
And then shortly after, about a minute later at 8:24, is the first instance of actual cunnilingus. Not simulated cunnilingus, but legitimate cunnilingus.
Yeah, there was a lot of times when I'm watching this, I was like, they are not faking each other.
It was genuinely a pornography. You got me to watch a pornography. A kind of furry pornography as well.
Okay, again, I do not know. Also, maybe it wasn't because robots. so that's also my defense for that. I mean, I understand that's a fetish for some people and everything. I was just as surprised as everybody else. Okay, so they do it. There's a lot of I was gonna say before the podcast, I mentioned there was this part, and it was my favorite part. I mentioned it down when they're having sex. They're in a room. They're in a hotel room, and there's like red lights and everything. It's very like warm lighting. There's a part real quick where it cuts away to a completely different pair of breasts with a blue background, and these hands are feeling it, and it's like the guy's blind, and I mean we don't see him, we just see a pair of male hands feeling these breasts, but it's like he's never felt breasts before, and it's like he's in the dark.
Oh, I definitely the whole time I kept being like, that does not feel good. I don't know any woman that would think that feels good. Like, it's just blind groping, but like not even like the whole boob or a sensitive part of the boob.
Like, he was in the dark, and that was the first thing he touched. He was like, "Well, I recognize this shape, but I don't have any context because I'm lost in the dark in my apartment."
I've had breast cancer examinations that were hotter than that groping session.
that's a tagline for the podcast. Yeah, so they do it, and then the movie just fucking meanders forever. She tells him after they do it that she has this dream that pretty much tells you what's going to happen in the movie, that she goes to some planet with a weird forest. First of all, forest isn't weird, it's just a forest of trees. Mm-hmm. And she's chased by some guy, and then she's like, we have dinner at this castle and everybody's laughing, and then I run away, and then he takes my breasts out, and then I scream. Yeah, that's the end. And he's like, oh, that's fucking interesting, and falls asleep.
He doesn't even say that's fucking interesting. That's exactly it. The best part is she wakes up from this nightmare that she has, which, fine, it does definitely constitute a nightmare because it seems that it's implied that she gets kind of raped towards the end. Then she's like, I have this nightmare. And he's like, please tell me. And this is right after they've already had sex. And she's like, but I've never told anyone. And he kind of pulls the whole, like, oh, you can definitely trust me.
Definitely tell discount Lando Calrissian.
And then, like, so she's revealing this huge secret about herself, and the fucking dude falls asleep in the middle of her talking. Like, this secret that she's held on to her entire life, and he just passes out. I'm sure
we're supposed to think that's funny, and we're just like, what an asshole.
Yeah, total asshole. This is the same guy who earlier, when he was hitting on her, his pickup line was that he is a member of the Trade Association, and he says, Trade Association experts are experts at judging women. Like... So basically, come upstairs and fuck me so I can judge you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gross. Larry. What an asshole. I mean, I guess
at least she was on board with it. It was like a Tinder swipe down in that bar, you know?
Oh, yeah. That bar was probably called Tinder.
Yeah, most likely. Space Tinder.
The same colors. Yeah. So they do it, and then he's like, oh, whatever. And then he, during his fight with Juan Solo... he found some of the unobtainium bullshit that he'd been carrying.
He found it in, have you ever seen those ads from the 1970s for cocaine related products when you could just sell them? That's what it is.
Oh yeah, it's in a cocaine tube.
It's in a cocaine tube necklace thing. That's 100% what that is. Probably pulled it off one of the director. Probably pulled off the director or an actor.
Yeah, so he goes back down to that bar. And is like, meets another chick, and she's like, do you want to fuck? And he's like, yeah, totally. I just got to take care of some business. And then goes and tries to talk to that Juan guy, and they fight again, and he fights some other trade dudes. And he's like, arrest these assholes. I'm going to go fuck this girl.
This guy's not even hot either. Okay. Captain Larry's not hot.
No. Captain Larry looks like someone's uncle. Who wears shorts that are slightly too short to the family barbecue. And you're like, Uncle Larry, we know that you're single now, but you're at a family event.
He just looks greasy. And then he acts greasy too.
His hair, I couldn't tell if it was a wig or if it was just ready to fall out.
Yeah.
It was pretty crispy.
When we had been at this point in the film.
Dude, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, like, when we're at this point in the film where he has gotten into a fight and then fucked a girl, gotten into a fight and then fucked a girl, I thought the whole film was going to be that. And I was like,
oh, I wrote in my notes. So I was like, is the whole movie him going downstairs to the bar and taking a different girl upstairs? I was like, I mean.
I wouldn't be that. I'm like, that would be a terrible movie, but it'd also be kind of funny. But. No, I had no idea that this was the completely sane part of the film.
Yeah, and the whole plot of the movie then is, let's go get this medal, but also, oh, surprise, that Sandra girl is on my crew.
Oh, no, and I didn't know it.
And oh, Juan... sorry, I just lost my voice for a second there.
And Juan Solo is trying to get there before us, so...
and his shitty discount Millennium Falcon is just like... the worst 1950s flying saucer.
Oh, that's just the beginning. There's so many Star Wars references throughout this film. This was like the porn version of Star Wars. Like, it should have been called like Star Whores or something.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I also loved too that when they were in their ship, which was shaped like a dick.
Yeah.
When they were in their ship, they would watch feed of their ship flying through space. And I was like, oh, that's nice that they can see their ship from far away.
Oh, God.
That they're flying in to see if anything's wrong. they also all, they wore very dumb hats.
Yeah, there were a lot of really dumb hats. Their uniforms throughout the, actually, you know what? All of their uniforms are terrible because when they were back at like the base spaceship, they were definitely discount Star Trek uniforms. Even the logo was a Star Trek logo.
And I was like, I wrote that. I was like, oh, dumb Star Trek, like, Goodwill pile.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, they're dumb, but at least that looks like a cheesy sci-fi uniform. I'll take that.
Yeah, we all then kind of associate that with that.
Yeah. Then they get on the ship, and then their outfit is 10 times dumber. Because they've got, like, a cap with headphones built into it that's red and, like, blue. Because they had different suits for when they were on the ship and off the ship for later.
Which they changed into and out of very quickly.
Oh, super fast. Like, these people must have been firemen before they were space patrollers.
Obviously, as a viewer of the film, what I understand happened is that they, when they were filming the outside shots, they had this outfit on. And then they filmed all of the interior flying the spaceship, oh, Captain, there's a problem, scenes all in the same day wearing these outfits. So there would be scenes where they have to jump on the ship and escape within seconds before everything blows up, but they have found time to change their outfit.
Maybe it's a bat pole situation.
Oh, that's
like
true, too.
Like a 60s TV show where they they go up the stairs and their clothes are changed. I mean, they're obviously very comfortable with being naked around each other.
Super comfortable.
Yeah. So they go to this planet to find the metal stuff, and they get there, and there's a big, angry, pissed-off robot toy there that's mad, and Sandra's like, oh no, it's the robot from my dream, and she panics and freaks out, and the captain shoots his flashlight gun at it, which is, it's just a flashlight with a trigger on it, so the light is on all the time. You never see the bullets.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Where those guns, have you ever gone to like Disney World or anything like that, and they have those rides where you shoot the targets and you try and...
Yes.
That's what kind of gun it looked like. Like, it looked like it was in like Buzz Lightyear's World of Adventure or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I had like a at-home version of that.
That's what the guns look like, because I feel like that's all they were doing.
One of those interactive ride guns. They probably just stole that from like Disney Italia or something. Disney like that. Italia. They're like, we're gonna ride these rides. I don't know if there's a Disney Italia, but these rides and swipe these guns.
Let me throw in here too, because I found this really funny about it, is that so obviously women are objectified in this film from like literally the first 2 minutes of this film, and whatever, it's a sexploitation film, exploitation of women, I get it, but it seems kind of odd to me that they live in a world where women, it's acceptable for women to be like computer programmers and rocket scientists. Like, that's not beyond the realm of the future, but not getting raped is, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, you can do some math, but you gonna get raped.
Yeah,
that's basically the attitude of Space Italy future.
Space Italy future.
I don't want to rag on the Italians. I have a lot of friends who are Italian.
But Space Italy did bring us Barbarella, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's right. It's like, look, like fun erotic adventurer lady in space has been done pretty well. You had a template to go off of.
I feel like this is letting me down. There are some fantastic Italian sci-fi films. Like, I'm sad that this is 1980, so this is almost like a bookend to it. I don't really know much more after that, so maybe I'll look at, I don't know if Italy does any good space films these days. I hope so.
I don't know, that'll have to be a pet project. And I'm willing to look, because so this movie, they land on the planet, they go out, the robot's fucking with them, they go back in, they're like, we should go back out there, said every dumb white person in the movie ever. And they go out there to find the metal, and they go through a cave. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When they land on the planet is, they look out over the planet. It's like, oh, this planet's shitty. Yeah. It's like one of those Star Wars planets where somebody gets dropped off and has to live there until a Jedi comes to find them sort of planets. Mm-hmm. Then they go in a cave, and when they get out of the cave, they're in like fucking fantasy land.
Yeah, there's like a beautiful forest, like green everywhere. It was really odd.
So this is my question. Was that not real?
Well,
because that, the thing with the robot, we find out later.
Well, I'll go ahead and spoil it, because this movie fucking sucked. What happens is you learn that the robot controls the entire planet, and
it has like psychic powers.
Yeah, there's no such thing as free will on this planet. It's all some sort of weird computer programming. The computer runs, and apparently this computer loves fucking, because that's all he makes people do on this planet is fuck. So maybe it is just all made up. But even no, it can't be, because even after they take medicine to be woken up from this dream, they're still there.
Oh, that's right. So it can't be all an illusion.
They suck at space travel or something. Well, here's the problem. Because they're not only there to pick up the unobtainium, part of it, their captain or corporal or whatever, one of the things he wants them to take over the planet, like take charge of the planet, claim the planet for their federation or whatever. Who sends 5 fucking people to take over a planet that no one has explored before?
Who sends someone named Larry to take over a planet?
Yeah, it sends 5 people who have never met each other on a mission to take over an entire planet that they don't know if is safe or anything at all. This seems like the worst mission ever.
Yeah, that's like, listen, that's it's just a name, a guy's name that ends in a Y. My name's Kenny. Like, if you were like, we're going to conquer that planet, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to send a team of five led by our biggest hard ass, Kenny.
I'd hope you go with Kenneth at that point.
Yeah, or just Ken.
Yeah.
We're sending Ken over there. Yeah, so they get there, and so they come out of the caves, and these weird android people are watching them from the shadows. This part you texted to me while it was happening, because you were like, what is up with the horses? And I was like, there's no horses in this. It's a space movie. And you're like, what's your time stamp? Like, I don't know, 38? You're like, you're 2 minutes away from the horses. And so they come out of the caves and they're walking and they're, and it's kind of foggy and they're like, I feel so weird. Yeah. And then they look and there's inserted stock footage of two horses fucking.
Yeah.
Not like implied. You know how like in movies when they'll show like, oh, it's a video of two dogs doing it and it just shows dogs humping. This is like full on penetration. See the horse's dick come out. The end sort of thing. And the women of the crew are getting hot.
They're getting so hot, like, they have to touch themselves.
Yeah.
It's okay. The best part about the horses fucking is that, like you said, it's stock footage. So they're supposed to be out in the middle of a forest, but those horses are clearly in front of a barn. Like, you can see.
They didn't see a farm or anything. They're just like sitting there. It's almost like I thought it was gonna pull back to reveal somebody watching the horse porn, like on a screen. And like, I love what happens next. It's like the women are touching each other, and Larry looks at them, and then he looks off in the distance. And he goes, "This is a very critical situation." It was like if the most like perfect three image thing would be them walking in the woods, then a shot of those horses, and then Larry saying that, because it's just like, what the fuck?
That was like the most fucked up. That's when I knew that this movie was going to be insane.
Yeah, so then they stumble upon the castle
that Sonic was
talking about, which is just some asshole's house with some cardboard thrown up in front of it to look spacey.
The best part about that is that they're in the woods, and it is like the middle of the day. There's bright sunlight, and then they step 10 feet in front of the castle, and it becomes midnight.
Obviously, he has a midnight shield around the castle.
Something like that. I think more of like someone wasn't keeping track of continuity.
Even better, if you pay attention, you can see the crew's shadows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like their heads moving and stuff and the boom mics. It's like some scary boom mic team has clouded this house castle in darkness.
They couldn't just use like a still picture. God, okay, whoever, okay.
Yeah,
I guess it's matte porn.
Guys, matte paintings.
Yeah.
Film. Sci-fi film 101. So they go in the castle, the door locks on them, and they go into this grand hall where the feast is, where Sandra had her, like, about her dream or whatever. And I don't remember their names, but Juan Solo and then...
Onaph.
What was that?
Onaph. O-N-A-P-H. Or maybe O-R-A-P-H. My handwriting is atrocious.
O-N-A-F. Onaph.
Okay.
He's this dude in fancy robes that she was talking about that she saw who takes her tits out in her dream.
Apparently he's the owner of the planet, not the controller like the robot. He's the owner.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I'm the owner of this planet, but there's this computer who's like super cool and he runs everything.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you hear about it and you're like, so the movie's about a supercomputer?
Yeah.
Like, okay. And he's like, yeah, this computer can control your thoughts and everything, so there's no free will here. But, I mean, it's pretty cool.
It also apparently stops aging, because we learn that Gonads is 800 years old.
Yeah.
We learn that, well, it'd be more like goat nads, as we find out later.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no. He's 800 years old, which... 800 years old, still has not learned not to objectify women, because the second that three beautiful women walk into the same room as him, he just becomes uber creep.
Yeah, he's like, I wanted to smell the beautiful flowers that you had on your sheep. He's all sweaty and gross, too.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like they were sweating all the time in this movie. That's just something of like the late 70s, early 80s movies. Maybe
It's
it's
all
just
that
'cause the
hair.
yeah, it's just all that hair, man. They're just sweating under those rugs, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so they have a dinner and they keep saying, "I feel funny," and everything. And then after the dinner, they all start fucking, and like Larry just grabs one of the other girls. I think her name is Erica.
Was
I don't
it?
know.
They
One of them,
didn't
I
give.
know one of them's name is Erica. There's another one. Okay, I know we were talking about objectifying, and I feel like an asshole, but this is the only way to
The dick
describe.
sucking DSL?
Oh, yes. Well, no, actually, I was going to say it a different way, but I guess that would be a way to describe. There's regular blonde, and then there's DSL blonde.
Yep.
So
But
Larry took up with a regular blonde.
I don't fault you either because as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I can't think of a single time they allowed the other women besides Sandra to speak in this film. And Sandra only said either she was either like, please fuck me right now, I'm so sad and lonely, or she said like, I'm scared, I need you to take care of me. Like those were the only two
Or
things.
coordinates.
What's that?
Or she said coordinates
Or
in the ship.
coordinates. Yeah. I
Yeah.
don't think the other two women were allowed to speak during this
No,
film.
they had like a couple lines in the ship, but when they weren't on the ship, they didn't say anything. So DSL is getting down with Mountain Man from the crew. There's another dude in the crew. And
Who's allowed
then
to
Larry.
talk?
Yeah, he talked a lot.
Oh, fuck this movie.
Yeah. Well, this movie fucked itself quite a bit. So Larry's getting down with the other girl, and Juan Solo's just kind of like, I'm fucking drunk, whatever. He was hitting on DSL at one point and then just kind of passed out. And then Goatnads takes Sandra out into the woods, and then they start fooling around a bit, and then he drops his pants, and he's a fucking satyr. And if you don't know what a satyr is, a satyr is one of those
It's a
half man,
fawn.
half goat things. Yeah, a fawn. Like, Mr. Tumnus from fucking Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And he's like, we gonna fuck now. And she runs away and he catches up to her. And when he catches up to her, he's got a huge fucking erection pointing right at the screen like a gun barrel.
Okay, so let's stop right there and talk about all of this.
Yeah.
One, I am not very well versed when it comes to Greek mythology.
Yeah.
I do know that fauns exist, and I think satyrs are Roman mythology. Could be wrong.
Yes.
Switch those around if I'm wrong. Is this some sort of attempt at a deeper meaning in relation to like Zeus?
You mean like Lena and the Swan?
Yeah, or didn't Zeus fuck a lot of women?
Yes, usually as an animal, he
Okay.
would rape them, and then they would have, like, that's where a lot of the demigod children come from, I
Okay.
think. Yeah.
Because this
So I.
definitely started as rape. That was not consensual fucking until it started feeling good. And then it became, oh, that was my least favorite part of it.
Oh yeah, it's yeah, she's screaming and everything, and you're like, that poor woman. Oh, okay, here's something interesting. So in Greek mythology, a satyr is one of a troop of male companions of Dionysus with goat-like features and often permanent erections.
Okay.
Yeah, so that must obviously be one of their traits.
Okay, so this wasn't
Is.
just a bestiality thing, because obviously this director has a thing for bestiality after watching women touch themselves covered in
After the
latex,
first thing,
watching
yeah.
horses fucking. All right, so second question about this. Was that a real dick?
No,
Okay, it
it
looked
wasn't.
kind of plasticky, but
It
also,
was.
okay. I just wanted
It
to
was.
know.
I had a, especially from the front on shot, I was like, that is not real.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, 1 hour, 3 minutes to dick. That was the timestamp on that
Yeah,
one. So,
a huge dick. It's
yeah.
like a huge fake dick.
Huge. Like, it's a big, yeah, it was really, what the fuck? That was so weird.
Yeah.
Because
So then
he pulled
we
off
have a.
his, yeah, he pulled off his pants and I was like, is that his penis? And then they did a close up and I was like, yeah, that's definitely his penis. Holy shit.
Which is weird because they show it, and then when he chases her, it's not there, and
Yeah.
then he like corners her with it.
Oh, I forgot
It's
a timestamp.
Oh yeah.
There was another timestamp that if we go back 3 minutes prior to this, because they keep jumping back and forth between everyone. So while we're trying to come to terms with the fact that there's like a satyr, rape scene
people
happening.
People are trying to come in other ways.
Yeah, people are trying to come in other more consensual ways. And so at 1 hour even, that's the timestamp for when there was ass to mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw every one of the girls' bushes.
Mm-hmm.
There was definitely the Larry dude loves going down.
Yeah. Chicks. I mean, maybe that's, yep. He's not so attractive, but he keeps getting all these ladies. Maybe he has the good reputation of like, so listen, yeah. Larry's not that good looking, but he will go down on you for 45 minutes straight.
Because yeah, and they're like, well, I mean, space is lonely. yeah, so then we have what I called in my notes, the crazy fantasy consent and rape montage, where it's like, here's all these people who are consenting, then here's the rape. I fast forwarded through most of it because
me too.
It lasts a while. And she, you can tell in the fast forwarding, she goes from please stop to, oh, well, I'm being done now, so now I accept it, which is uncomfortable. But so they all finish, and then they wake up, and Larry's like, oh, what the fuck? And Juan Solo's like, quick, take this pill. And so he takes it, and he's like, what's going on? He's like, that pill will help block, I don't know, some dumb fucking mumbo jumbo about it. Like, it's a pill that blocks psychic powers from computers or some shit. I don't know. And he's like, the computer Zorko, or whatever its name is. I think it's Zorko.
I think it's just Zocor.
Okay.
Which sounds like a pill that a fawn takes to keep such a massive erection.
Yeah. Zocor. Talk to your doctor about Zocor. You might experience 9-foot erections and chasing unconsenting women through the woods.
Oh, the best part about him being a fawn, too, is that it was obviously just hairy pants that he was wearing because you could see the seam at his waist.
Yeah. He was wearing like a pair of sweatpants with hairy stuff on it.
Anyway, back to Zocor and the pill.
Yeah, so red pill, blue pill. He's like, I had the weirdest dream, and then he... Then Larry talks to us about all the shit they just did, and Juan's like, yeah, it totally fucking happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, where was he when all this was happening? He's like, I was passed out or whatever. And it was like, what? My whole thing with him is like, he went to this planet before.
Who, to Juan? Get this
metal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to this planet before. It's called like Loragon or some shit like that. Everybody knows about it, but nobody's been there. Sort of thing. And he's like, I was here before and I came back. It's like, if you knew all this shit was going on with like rapey robot fantasy thing, why did you even go back?
I don't know. I think maybe he wants to be a little rapey.
Wants to do it. So he's like, oh yeah, all this totally happened. He's like, I also dreamt that Sandra got like was fucked by a guy with a huge horse dick who was half goat. And he's like, yeah, that totally happened. He says horse dick. I'm not lying. He's like, yeah, totally. That totally happened too. And he's like, not as confused about that. He's like, a robot told me what to do. It's just like, wait a minute. My somewhat girlfriend got screwed by a half man, half goat person. Well, but that's not worried. As bad as me losing free will as a man. Yeah. So they get up and they're like, we got to steal the metal from the computer or whatever. And everybody's like kind of escaping.
Yeah, they leave Sandra back to be the distraction from the fawn guy, Goatnads.
Yeah. And then we find out that Goatnads isn't real.
Wait, was he not real? Wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought he just was controlled.
That's in the summary of stuff, too, because I was watching it, and I was like, it's showing the sex scene with him again, but then cutting to footage of her just lying in front of a brick wall with a robot standing over her.
That's what that meant?
Yeah, it didn't really happen. It was that robot following her, like... mind raping her, so like not actually having sex with her.
Then why like was just he? Why was he a fawn then? Why?
I don't know. I don't know why this robot has a penchant for Greek boner monsters.
Okay, wait. I have a theory. So it's a computer. It's like supposed to be this. It's a computer that's strong enough to power an entire planet. It's also sci-fi, so I'm guessing it's in the future. Not many sci-fis besides like Star Wars are like a long, long time ago. Most of them are future. They also still speak Italian, so it's got to be our future, right? This computer has access to all the internet. It's just been watching furry porn for...
Oh, totally. Yeah.
For That's who knows how long.
Yeah. So I get... I mean, the person who I watch it says that... the only other, like, breakdown of the movie that I found was somebody who'd written a review about it, and they called him... They called Goat Nads, like, a manifestation of him. But I don't think he was real. I think it was that robot... the like walking version of him, because there's like the giant supercomputer room version of the robot, and then there's the walking dopey one.
Yeah, and he's like,
that's what I got from it was that he was just standing over her, beaming this into her head.
Okay.
Because then they're all very surprisingly cool about everything that happened at the end.
Wow, you just made this movie like. I mean, it's a very shallow, shallow, shallow film, so you added just a few trickles of. Water to the puddle, but I guess I just missed that. Like, it didn't really. I also, at this point, this movie, I think you and I both discussed that this, I could not watch it in one sitting.
Took so many takes. Like, I was like, I started like watching it riding the exercise bike. It was just like, I'll ride the exercise bike and watch this. And I got to about like 28 minutes. I was like, you know what? I can ride this bike more, but I just do not want this shit playing anymore. I just feel weird. I was like, I felt like the skeeziest guy in the world. Was like, I'm exercising and watching borderline porn.
Oh no, right now. I closed my window shades watching this because I was like, last thing I want is one of my neighbors to like look in and be like, what the fuck is Jessica watching right now?
Yeah, they're just like, geez, is that a half goat man boning some Italian chick?
Oh my god.
They like. Take off, they steal metal, and they leave, and Juan Solo's like, somehow he's got a suitcase of it now, and he's like, tell your government I'll sell it to them for $10 billion, then I'll take you all out to dinner, ha 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 ha.
Well, let's go back to when they're stealing from the robot, because there's a couple of things that I really like there. One, because there's another Star Wars reference, it's actually a few. One, first of all, the guys, the stormtroopers of this film, they even make a joke about how they can't they can't hit anything. I think I wrote them down as little Dutch bots.
Oh yeah, because they had little Dutch boy haircuts.
Yeah, they did. Turns out they were robots, which was not a surprise really, considering that they had like lights for eyes and silver skin. They even have a full out genuine lightsaber battle with like.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. Because
it's so bad.
Well, you remember when you were a kid and you asked your mom for lightsabers for Christmas and she didn't buy you the nice ones. She bought you the like affordable ones.
Yeah, the like $1.49
That's lightsaber. That's what these are.
That comes, it's like galactic sword and it's not even.
Not you know even how affiliated. Lightsabers are,
are like cylindrical. It's a beam of light. Like these swords are always like sword shaped, like a broadsword.
Oh.
These ones looked like the flashlights that ushers in movie theaters used to have, just like extended to look more sword like.
So those were the little Dutch bots were amazing. The shootout scenes were great because the women. Maybe they should have been given lines to see if they were good actresses because they were not very good at shooting. It would just be like. In this like huge shootout battle, my favorite line actually happened in front of the computer, in front of Zocor. They are stepping in and they have to cut because Zocor is so intelligent. Juan Solo's like, you know, follow my lead, and he's like, hey, let me show you this computer. It's like the greatest thing in the entire world, aren't you, computer? You know, trying to pull a ruse, and then I couldn't tell who said it, but one of them says. Hey, take off your shirt. It may have gay transistors you can distract. And I was like, wait, what? And I was real worried that it was going to show one of these dudes fucking a computer.
Oh, my God. I need to take a drink of water.
Okay, so what your whole theory, or maybe not theory, maybe the accurate portrayal from this film, but because there is – it does show the robot – not the big, not Zocor, but the like
the lost walkie in, robot.
Yeah, the lost in space robot. It shows him like over her. Is that robot fucking her?
I don't know. I mean, well, the thing is that when it's standing over her, there's no movement. She's not moving.
No, but the hand like, keeps touching her, and like at one point, it's like on her neck.
I mean, maybe the robot did her.
Did they have a line that they actually like drew? They're like, listen, we can show a half goat man fucking this woman, but we're not going to show a computer fucking or a robot.
No.
Like, I hated this so much. It was so terrible. This is the worst film I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know if I can go that far. It was definitely uncomfortable to watch. I've seen some bad movies. This was at least really doofy, aside from the weird hardcore sex stuff.
I think I just felt really uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah. I've seen some other movies like this where I was like, I don't like sex anymore.
Yeah, that's what I kept feeling. There was nothing, and even the Thawne guy, like whenever he'd be kissing or touching anyone, it was not attractive kisses. Like it looked like some of the there's one where he had his tongue sticking out and he didn't move it at all. It just sat there like a dead fish.
I have made out with a girl like that before. Let me tell you,
we've all made out with a girl like that before, and it's terrible.
Yeah. Hey-o. I don't know. I don't think that it. I don't think that the robot did her, but I mean, it's up for interpretation. I think he was just mentally beaming, which just goes to show how fucked up this robot is. He's like, watch me make this chick think that I'm a half goat creature banging her. Ugh. And it's like, is he contacting his other supercomputer friends to brag about it later on, or is he posting on a message board?
So did he? Whatever? So then, because immediately after that scene, Sandra just appears right back at the spaceship, fully clothed. Did he send her there, or she had never left there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know how she got back there. There's the part where she's running through the cave, and then she's being slowly followed by that robot. Oops, sorry. She's being slowly followed by that robot, and then she starts flashing back to the sex scene, and then it shows the inner cutting of the robot stuff.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they're on the ship and she's there too, and they're like, peace out, motherfuckers. And they leave.
That was one of those times they had changed just by the fact that they were trying to get away from this planet exploding.
Battles, man. Just riding those up. And then they do the dumb dinner line and they're like, isn't it great that we're in space? And then that's the end. And that's the end of the fucking movie. And I don't know why we did it or why it was there. I feel like it's the end of Burn After Reading, where J.K. Simmons is just sitting at the desk. And he's like, what did we learn? It's like, I don't know. Learn not to do it again, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
It's just real dumb. It's real weird.
There must be, I mean, I guess there doesn't have to be there, but the fact that he was a fawn, I'm really stuck on that. It must be something. Like, it must be related to something or a story or something, a parable.
I'm sure it is. I don't know many stories about fawns or satyrs in Greek mythology. We didn't touch the monsters that much in my classes. But I'm sure it has something to do with the whole creatures impregnating women stuff in mythology. I know that centaurs were notorious rapists.
Yeah.
In all sorts of, which is why that one scene in that Harry Potter movie where they drag that lady away,
Professor Umbridge,
there's some very heavily implied shit of what happens to her.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be a parable. Like, maybe there is a Greek story. I almost want to go find it. I guess we'll just have to let people know. On the next episode, I promise I will look up, and then at the beginning, I will give you an update. But I'm sure there's some story about adventurers going to look for some sort of treasure and then being fooled by a god or something in some sort of creature form. Because suddenly the movie's about this computer that's a god, but we haven't heard about this computer at all until they land on this planet.
Well, here's another thing that I didn't find out. I watched the trailer after watching the film. Okay. This is a sequel.
What?
Yeah.
The fuck you say?
I'm not
it's
kidding.
It's a sequel to what?
I have no idea. And it may even be part of a trilogy, but don't quote me on that. It's just that because they say, like, the final showdown, the final showdown with the boss, and it is in space.
What?
I know. I'm not. Let me. I don't know.
Okay, you do. Oh, all right. Listen, there's some shit behind this movie then, because if this is a sequel, mm-hmm. and there's all this stuff about, like, Greek god stuff, do the other fucking Italian discount Star Wars movies in this series have to do with, oh, we'd fucked around with some Greek shit?
I don't know.
In space.
Don't know.
Greek mythology stuff. So weird.
The problem is that every time that I see this movie mentioned as a sequel, sequels in quotes. And I don't get that as a joke.
Oh, you know what it probably is then? It's like what I said when they just dub things sequels to stuff. Like how in, I don't remember what country it is, where they call every movie about something spooky happening in a house an Evil Dead movie.
Uh-huh.
I think I mentioned that in one of our first episodes, that, like, they'll just take some random ass haunted house possession movie and be like, oh, it's an Evil Dead movie. It's Evil Dead 5.
Yeah.
Like, when it has nothing to do with anything else. So maybe this was another one where it was similar enough that they were like, oh, it's a sequel to this movie, to just get people to go see it. Like, the next line.
I'm just going to see what they consider the first film. Like, I want to find.
Yeah.
If it's maybe something from the same director, like perhaps he.
Yeah. So the girl who's the main character, who plays Sandra in it, is, her name's Serpa Lane, and she was known for primarily erotic and exploitation films. Obviously, she was a Finnish actress who was supposed to be, who was being prepped to be like the next Bardot, the next Bardot. But she died. She died of HIV and AIDS in 1999. She was 36.
I feel like I do not want to say anything at all to that statement.
Because you're, like, not surprised?
No, I just because I watched her get railed by a centaur, satire, fawn, man.
Yep. Goatnads. I mean, we don't know if he has HIV or AIDS. When's the last time he's been checked? He might not even be real.
Oh.
He might have imaginative AIDS, which is the worst kind.
Yeah, this is porn.
Yeah, it's porn. We watched a porn.
Yeah.
There was a porn advertised on that. Maybe that's why that site got rid of it. Why that Fandor thing was like, oh, this isn't available anymore.
I'm very relieved as well that we don't watch these films together, because I think we would have gotten about 6 minutes in, had a couple of awkward giggles, and then got to, like...
And been like, Jessica, we are straight up watching people fuck right now.
Yeah, yeah. By the time we hit, like, an hour, I would have probably had to excuse myself and cried.
Yeah, just for, like, what? Well, at the 1 hour mark, definitely. Yeah.
When I was watching this... I was in my office, and then my husband came in and watched. It was I think it was when we first see the Fonz dick, and he was like, "Haha, this movie's insane," you know. And then he left the room, and then he came back like 10 minutes later, and it showed a little bit of the robot, but then cut to sex again, and he was like, "Oh, I guess I always walk in when there's sex happening," and I'm like, "That's the whole fucking movie."
That's
like,
the whole movie.
I'm like, leave and come back whenever, and there will probably be sex on the screen again.
Well, at least they knew their audience, I guess. Larry and his Greek sexcapades in space.
Did you like this film at all?
To be honest, I liked the kitschy, dumb sci-fi bits.
Yeah.
Just because I love those dumb movies. But they were, for a science fiction movie, they were so few and far between.
Yeah.
Before, and it was just uncomfortable sex stuff.
When they did have something, like when they were... Because when they run into Juan Solo out in space, like before they get to the planet, Juan Solo shoots at them, and then their spaceship kind of like veers out of control, and they've lost radio contact. Like a very, what would be a very high stress moment, but they made it real boring.
Oh my God, you mean when they like lose the gravity stuff and they're spinning
Yeah.
around and Serpa Lane is like takes about 2 minutes too long to react what's going
Yeah,
on.
everyone's
She's
like,
just sitting there and she's like,
and
after about a
she's,
minute
yeah.
and a half, she goes, "Oh, I should be scared." She's like, and she looks like she's gonna cry. Oh, so ridiculous. I also want to point out, I am not against pornography in any certain way,
No, and
but I
neither
just
am
kind of hate
I.
it. I just hate it when it's a movie and it's like, let's put a lot of sex in it. So it's basically, it's like, just go make a porn.
Yeah.
You don't need to. It's kind of like one of my biggest complaints about Game of Thrones is like the show would have been done 3 years ago if they just cut out all the tits. It's
Very
like,
true.
yeah, I get it. It's HBO. You can show them, but we have the internet now, guys. You don't need to put some people like boobs all
Yeah.
the time and stuff. And in this movie, it was like, okay, there's no plot and it's really just doing it. Like, you really should have just made a porn.
Yeah, it's just an extended pornography. And I same thing too. I have no problem with pornography. I think pornography can be a very empowering thing, but I really was disturbed by the fact that he was raping her, and then because it started to feel good, it became consensual. That's when I kind of was like,
It's
oh.
the message
Yeah,
behind
and
it.
I do know it's 1980. But I still.
I don't understand that statement. Was the world very pro rape until consent
No, I
in
just
the
mean
80s?
it wasn't a discussion that was being had on such a wide scale.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think you could probably get away with it a little bit more because you could just chalk it up to being like, oh, it's in a porn, so it's okay. But, because the rest of the time that I was feeling uncomfortable during this film was just because it was bad or because it was like a dude with like hairy pants pretending to be a centaur with a big plastic dick. Like that can be uncomfortable when you're just sitting in your office. But that part I started to feel genuinely uncomfortable with.
Oh yeah. It's like when you're like, okay, everybody's fucking. It's like when you this is probably I feel like this is revealing, but it's also everybody, because everybody does this. Like, I know you all watch porn, you assholes, don't
Well,
lie.
I'm
It's like when
never.
you're watching porn and then all of a sudden something that you're watching that you're into, something weird happens, you're like, why did you have to do that?
Oh,
Why did you
exactly.
have to make it weird? Like, it didn't need that weird thing. It was fine before that. And that's what, like, this whole thing. It's like, okay, so there's a rape scene. Like, did he need to be an animal thing with like a huge big, like, what does that add thematically
That's what
to
I mean,
everything
is
that's
back at the
happened?
beginning of the film when it was like fighting, fucking, I was like, haha, that sucks, but whatever, at least we'll get some dumb space stuff in between. And then,
No space stuff.
no, I wish it would have been just fighting and fucking in weird space bars.
Oh yeah, if this movie had been called Fighting and Fucking in Weird Space Bars, I would have been, oh, okay, so they also talk about Uranus milk
Oh, I
all the
know.
time.
What's the your word in Italian though? Was it because I just kept giggling at Uranus milk.
Oh, I was laughing so hard. And after a while, I was like, is this movie really just about like consent for anal? Like, is that what this
Oh,
movie's
God.
about?
Uranus
Or
milk.
is after Uranus milk and unobtainium and
Oh.
whatever? Oh, such a dumb movie.
I like almost want to ban you from choosing films.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you have a strong case. You're not wrong if you're campaigning for it.
I don't have the next film picked out because as soon as I finish watching this, I didn't even want to look at any exploitation stuff for a
Oh,
minute.
well, I mean.
I popped on Kids in the Hall to cleanse my brain.
Oh, of
And
course. Yeah, Dan, your husband has been sending me the Snapchats of the Kids
yeah.
in the Hall sketches you guys have been watching. Yeah, go watch Kids in the Hall instead of this, because
Yeah,
Kids in the
yeah.
Hall.
Please don't like anyone. I have a couple of friends that text me, they listen to the podcast and they're like, I'm so tempted to watch whatever movie. Like someone texted me today, like he was like, I'm tempted to watch Slumber Party Massacre. And I was kind of like, ha, but like that's
But
fine.
don't though.
Don't watch this one though. No, I would much rather I would 100 times over recommend Slumber Party Massacre over this film. I feel like if I recommended this film to anyone I know,
They'd
and
be
they
like,
would
what the fuck is your
Yeah,
problem,
they would
Jessica?
judge me so fucking hard. Everyone would assume a lot of shit about me that's not true.
That's why I tried to watch
Is
this
this
as
why is
fast as possible.
this why you is this are you coming out to me as a furry right now, Kenny?
God. I am so uncomfortable around.
Is
Listen, I used to make fun of you because you were like, I'm uncomfortable around people in mascot outfits. And we were in high school, and I was like, whatever, it's not a big deal. And now that I have to go to Comic Cons all the time because I read comics and I have to be around those people, I mean, listen, mascots you're free to express yourself however you want. But I've realized that I also, it's the whole clown thing where I'm like, I don't trust clowns because they're being happy for no reason. And film and literature has taught me that clowns are the villains. And I know that's not fair to a lot of people who are legitimate clowns and are funny. But it's something that's been put into my head. And it's just the same with, like, I've seen a lot of shit with scary things and mascot outfits. And to see these people in mascot outfits get really close to you, or that you know they're going to these parties, you're just kind of like, I know why you're really here, though.
Yeah,
like,
it's for not a convention. It's not kink shaming or porn shaming in regards to this film. It's just, I don't know. I don't like
uncomfortableness,
it.
Especially when, like, they get really close to you when they're in those outfits. Because you're in a tight space anyway, at a convention or whatever, and you're just like, listen, you do you, but you do you about 5 inches farther away from me.
Yeah, listen, as a lady that goes to conventions, I can tell you people getting close to you is a
big problem.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I've never had a direct I've just felt uncomfortable because I just don't like not – it's the same reason that I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of who's in the dark. Like that. So it's the same thing of, like, I don't like that I've never seen your face before.
I need eye contact to feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's like, show me that you're human, then you can put that on. It's like, you should just walk around for a bit, take the head off, walk for a bit more, put the head back on. Just be like, all right, I made eye contact. I know that that's a person. And walking cartoon fox.
So you're whatever. Saying at the next convention you go to, you're dressing up as Goat Nads.
Totally.
Okay,
good. I gotta find a way to keep that dick up the whole way, though. Like, there's got to be some structural, like some clear bridge parts with some triangles, because they're the strongest shape. I don't know if you know that or not from engineering classes.
This is what we'll work on. We're gonna get going on this. We're gonna get your big. Yep.
Yeah, and they're gonna be like, "What are you from?" I was like, "From the classic science fiction film Beast in Space. I am the Beast, here to fill some space."
Is that what I meant?
I mean, I just said it now as a joke, but it's probably true. The real Beast in Space, Jessica?
Let's end this right now.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Make sure to like and subscribe, share it with your friends. Tell your friends to go watch Slumber Party Massacre, I guess.
Yeah, don't tell them to watch this.
And let's see, anything else? You can find us on Twitter. Leaving a review on iTunes is the best way for other people to find the show. At least that's what I hear. That's what every other podcast I listen to says. So might as well jump on that bandwagon. Pretty soon we'll have Casper mattress commercials. That. So thanks for listening. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, I'll figure out what movie we're gonna watch next. I'll post it on all the social media so everyone can see. So
but can watch if they want you to their heart's delight. And we will give you a fair warning if there are goat nads in it beforehand.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for stopping by.
Jessica hates me so much right now. It's not even funny. Say goodnight, Jessica. Say goodbye to our friendship.
Goodnight, Jessica. Goodbye to our friendship.
Goodbye, everybody.